This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and your number for the show is 877-217-5757. You can email us talk@talklouisiana.org. And with us in studio is Mike Berto, the chief healthcare economist for Blue Cross Blue Shield Louisiana. Always a pleasure to catch up with him. And, of course, healthcare remains a huge issue. But before we go to Mike, we would like your support. Your support is essential to not only the sustenance at WRKF, but to this hour of programming, and it is made possible through you, our listeners, and we want you to call 855-893-9753, and you'll be out fewer than 89.3 seconds. Call 855-893-WRKF, and you'll know you've done your good deed for this day and this year. Mike Berto is with us, and the nine-year anniversary of the Affordable Care Act was on March 21st. Just a few days ago, and 9 years later, we're still deliberating about whether it should stay or go. Where is it?
Yeah, is it fair to say it's had a turbulent childhood? Is that fair? I spent some time recently going back in my mind to the formation of the ACA and trying to connect the dots from how the ACA was created, what constituencies were built, and how it was voted on, and what the final bill contained, and kind of walk it through all of these court challenges over the year and connect the dots. And so on straighttalkla.com, you'll see a series there called Cracks in the Foundation. It's four very short articles. But specifically what we're dealing with is, why did the ACA's formation leave it vulnerable to the kind of court challenges we've seen year after year after year? And the most current one, of course, Texas v. U.S., basically stemmed from the fact that the Republicans, Congress passed a bill back in December of 17 that took a part of the ACA, the individual mandate, and reduced the fine to zero, which moves it out of the realm of the federal definition of a tax. A tax has to raise revenue. So if it's zero, it's essentially unenforceable. That's the crux of the lawsuit we're talking about today.
So if courts throw out Obamacare, are we back to square one?
Well, it would be a pretty catastrophic thing if it disappeared tomorrow. When you look at the nation as a whole, by my calculations, we're talking about 28 million people today who have health insurance specifically because the ACA provides it one way or another. About 18 million of those were purely through the expansion of Medicaid. And that's not all 50 states. Mm-hmm. There are still 14 or 15 states who haven't taken the deal yet. You've got another 12 million people who get insurance through healthcare.gov, the enhanced individual coverage with federal assistance to help them get insurance. And we always forget to talk about the fact that in 2014, the ACA required businesses with more than 50 employees, more than 50 full-time equivalents of labor, to offer coverage to 95% of their full-time employees. And that there was no standard for that prior. And we think 2 to 3 million people were added to coverage just because of that one new rule.
877-217-5757. Obamacare, or the Affordable Care Act, has been around for 9 years now, and enrollment in Louisiana fell to a record low this year, at 92,948 so far for 2019, and that is lower than 14, 15, 16, 17, or 18. The high was 214,148 in 2016. What's happened in the last 3 years?
Well, two major things would drive that enrollment down. Let's say three. The first one is Medicaid expanded to where people whose household income can be as high as 138% of the federal poverty line, and they're Medicaid eligible now. So part of that Medicaid growth that we've seen, and now we're up over 500,000 people in the state in this new enhanced Medicaid population, a significant part of that growth, let's say 40 or 50,000 of those people, were probably on the ACA in that first year you mentioned when the population was over 200,000 people. That's the first factor. The second factor is for the last 5 years we've had a law basically that says if you don't buy insurance, you'll have to pay a fine or a percentage of your tax return will be held out because you didn't buy coverage. That went away in 2019. So this is the first year we're operating without a federal requirement that you have health insurance coverage. And the third thing is the population of folks who buy into the ACA was a bit more medically needy than we expected way back in 2014. And so the individual rates in this new population where anybody can get in during open enrollment, no matter what their pre-existing conditions might be, means that the actual price of health insurance went up very quickly 4 years in a row. And finally, in 2019, we actually lowered rates a little bit, but they're still about double what they were when that number was 214,000 people.
And with the conjecture about whether Obamacare stays or go, and right now it appears that the courts will have the last say, what happens if the state of Louisiana suddenly is assigned to handle this?
Well, you know, that's an interesting thought. I've been watching for reports coming from D.C. If they anticipate that this court case would invalidate the ACA, what could Washington do to replace coverage for those 28 million people? And I believe we'll see a solution come out, something like a block grant scenario, where they take basically the money they planned on spending in the ACA and distribute it to the states and let them come up with a solution that fits them. That's a long process. You could imagine the political battles that would take place over that kind of change. We now have a split Congress. The Dems hold the House very strongly. The Republicans hold the Senate. And then the White House is in the hands of the Republicans also. So it's a lot of uncertainty in the marketplace right now when we think about actually having to try to replace the ACA. And, of course, it still remains to be seen whether any judge at the end of the day will say, because of this codicil, this individual mandate being unconstitutional, I'm going to throw out the entire ACA and potentially strand 28 million people without health insurance. That's a pretty huge deal.
It is a huge deal, and it affects more people on a percentage basis in Louisiana than in other states. In Louisiana, as you have noted, Mike, 53% of the population is on public health care. That, last time I checked, is a majority of the people, and most of those are on Medicaid.
Yes. My number is somewhere between 36 and 38% of the population
on Medicaid.
On Medicaid. Now, keep in mind.
And then there's Medicare, of course.
Exactly. Now, keep in mind, the state was maintaining a Medicaid program prior to this expansion that had about 1.3 million people in it. We're up to about 1.8 now. So we were maintaining a very large Medicaid population that was more than half kids, more than half people under 19. Mm-hmm. But the enhancement brought in people. The beauty of the expansion is you don't have to belong to some special needs category in order to qualify for health care. It's strictly income-based. You can draw a line across the state's population and say everybody below this line is eligible, everybody above is not. It really makes it simple to do eligibility.
Well, we're going to see what happens, and in Louisiana we would be affected because most of the people in this state are on public health care. And of course, some people don't recognize Medicare any longer as public health, but it is. And there are those who say we should have Medicare for all. Is that movement going anywhere?
Well, it's certainly advancing rapidly as a talking point in political campaigns. But if you ever want to do a show about the hurdles that would have to be overcome for Medicare for All to actually take place in the United States, I'll be happy to show back up for that.
It would affect the insurance industry, wouldn't it?
Well, you've got to look at it from a different perspective. The Medicare program today has no back office to speak of. So in other words, the federal agency that runs Medicare hires Blue Cross plans to do all the paperwork. They only have a couple of thousand employees in CMS, maybe 4,000. They're providing care for 120 million people. Can you imagine how they would try to do that without insurance company back offices who are doing most of the work right now?
And in Louisiana, as you note, almost 2 in 5 people are on Medicaid. Now, there have been court decisions of late about work requirements, and a listener notes that the courts have ruled that work requirements for Medicaid, at least the latest court decision, was such that that should not be a requirement. So where does that put Louisiana on this?
Well, it's important to keep in mind that the couple of court decisions that you've seen, 2 in a row, were from the same judge. So there are going to be more opinions about Medicaid work requirements over time as some of these cases make their way to the court. That being set aside, I think that what the courts are really trying to get at is what's the real reason that you want to do work requirements, and can you prove that it enhances the health of your population? And that really seems to be the test the courts are applying. Whenever a state wants to do a work requirement, they're trying to apply a test that coincides with what the Medicaid law originally said.
Mike Berto with us, and we'll continue our discussion with him, and we will go to the phone lines right after our break. Your number again is 877-217-5757. This man knows more about the current state of affairs with health care than anyone I know. And you also, if you have questions that perhaps go beyond our discussion today that he will discuss, you can go to straighttalkla.com, straighttalkla.com. And a reminder that our Spring Member Fest is now in day 7. We've got some ground to cover and a short time to get there. $40,000 still needed to be raised in our remaining time with you. This is the home stretch. If you haven't called before now, this is an opportunity. 855-893-9753, 855-893-9753. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Again, your number to support WRKF, 855-893-9753, and the number to reach us in studio for Talk Louisiana is 877-217-5757. Mike Berto, Chief Healthcare Economist for Blue Cross Blue Shield Louisiana, is with us. We go to David in Atlanta. Hello, David. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, gentlemen. First of all, I urge people to read Paul Krugman's column in the New York Times today regarding health care in this country. And the President of the United States was quoted a short time ago on one of the cable news networks saying his plan will be disclosed after the 2020 election when the Republicans take back the House and hold on to the Senate. But Mr. How do you pronounce your name, sir?
Berto.
Berto, Mr. Berto, given all your knowledge of health care, if the Supreme Court says Obamacare is unconstitutional, given 20 million people lose health care, those people, like my fiance's cousin, who's on chemotherapy right now, and people suffering from cystic fibrosis, and they need their medicine, between the time the Supreme Court rules maybe Obamacare is unconstitutional, how many people will die, in your expert opinion? And what?
All right, what about the ramifications, death being one of them?
Yeah, that's a great question, but I'm not going to touch it. The reality is that what we would expect, because of the massive impact such a ruling would have, we would expect the judge or whoever, whatever court finally rules on this issue, to give a direction down to a legislative body to correct what's wrong, to give them an opportunity to fix it, not just shut it off and pull the funding. That seems to be something that would be very unlikely, given the magnitude of the problem and the fact that these appropriations are already in place. The money's flowing, the people have coverage, everything's going along great. But they might get a directive that gives them a time limit to make the law become compliant with whatever decision the judge hands down. I think that's much more likely than just somebody turning the tap and it going away.
Thank you. David in Atlanta, 877-217-5757. And David noted the column today from the Nobel laureate Paul Krugman in the New York Times. And he writes that there are only two ways to cover people with pre-existing conditions, and both are particularly offensive to some conservatives. One is to have taxpayers pay the bill, which is what Medicare does, and the other combines regulation and subsidies. That's a big part of this. It's popular. There are those who say, look, whatever we do, we're not going to take that away. But if the health care plan, Obamacare is struck down, then I would think that goes with it.
Well, you know, when you're going to pass a giant piece of federal legislation that's going to impact 18% of the GDP, I mean, think about healthcare is 18% of GDP. Mm-hmm. The next largest segment is like 9%, and it's housing, I think. So you cannot help but create a big batch of winners and losers. You just can't. It has to be, at some level, a zero-sum game. And the longevity of the project is essentially going to be determined by the power of the losers. So the bigger coalition you make that lose in the process, that's going to determine whether or not you're in battle constantly for the next 10 years. And so when you go back and you take a look at the ACA, the people who are paying, you know, the money, where the money's coming out, some money came out of Medicare savings that really sort of materialized but really didn't, and then new taxes on business, taxes on insurance companies, taxes on hospitals. All of the constituents that are benefiting from the ACA now are going to put up a fight if you want to take it back apart, because in part they're paying for it, and we all are in our taxes. So it's a little bit more complicated than just who's winning and who's losing. It's about the power of the losing coalition. That's really what determines whether or not this thing will live in the long run, my opinion.
All right. Well, 18% of the GDP is almost a fifth of the economy, and that number's been going up. How do we, the American people, keep it from continuing to spiral upward and onward?
Well, I'll tell you, I think top-down cost controls may have their place in this process, but some of the things that we're doing now back at Blue Cross, groundbreaking stuff, I think holds the key to getting healthcare costs under control. We've got an effort going on with machine learning and artificial intelligence that is allowing us to look into people's health records and lifestyle and see how likely it is that they'll be admitted to the hospital in the next 6 months. And then we use our clinical staff, about 200 nurses and docs, to reach out to these folks and to let them know they're at risk and to recommend a treatment plan for them in coordination with their physician to avoid care. In other words, we are going to take the next step. We're not just looking at the past saying, what did we do right back then? We're trying to go forward, and we've got models now predicting how likely you are to go in the hospital, how likely you are to use the emergency room, even one that tells you how likely you are to call customer service.
All right.
And so if I know you're going to call customer service, I'm going to call you first and say, hey, I know you need something. Tell me what it is. People love that. They just love it.
All right. 877-217-5757 or talk at talklouisiana.org to get in under the wire with Mike Berto. And Cush in North Baton Rouge asked if we should start rewarding good behavior. Should people who take care of themselves pay less in health care for their health care?
Yeah, if you can figure out a way to do that without punishing people who don't take care of themselves, you could get that done politically. But the whole notion behind community rating and pre-existing condition coverage, which is the org, is really the guts of the ACA, operate on the notion that you're not responsible for your health. That essentially, no matter what happens, everybody pays the same. If you've achieved the age of 30, it doesn't matter whether you're a cancer patient or an Olympic athlete, your rates are exactly the same. How do we get past that politically is the question they really want to ask.
Well, as we know, some people who are in good health and take care of themselves get cancer, but on the other hand, the percentages show that people who take care of themselves have a better chance of living a long life and avoiding going to the doctor and having operations than people who don't.
Absolutely.
So why don't we reward people who are in shape, who don't smoke and are not overweight?
I couldn't agree more. I noticed that a lot of businesses now have embraced, since they sponsor health plans and they pay the lion's share of the cost for their employees, they'll sponsor wellness programs, and if employees allow themselves to be measured so they can see how they're doing health-wise, they'll give them lower premiums, they'll give them money back. We run a program like that at our place. When you hit your wellness targets, you get cash, right? I think that's the way to go. Now, how to do that in the individual market where the ACA controls rating is a bit trickier. The only thing they would allow us to punish people for, air quotes, punish, was tobacco use.
Well, one of the local casinos here weighs the cocktail waitresses on a monthly basis. If cocktail waitresses at the biggest casino in Baton Rouge can consent to being weighed, shouldn't all of us be agreeable to being weighed for our health care?
It wouldn't bother me if we all were weighed for our – I get on the scale every day, even when the news is bad, force myself to accept that reality. So, yeah.
Well, Mike, we're in a situation where we really don't know what's going to happen. So how does that affect you? You're the biggest healthcare insurer. And before we get to that, we do have a call or a question from Stephanie at LSU about is there any other alternative to Blue Cross in Louisiana now for the Affordable Care Act?
Oh, Vantage Healthcare and Blue Cross are the two carriers left on the exchange, right. All of the for-profit carriers bailed out years ago. They just left. Humana, United.
See you out of here.
See you, right. They couldn't figure out how to make money on it. They wanted out. As a not-for-profit, we lost money for a few years, but Louisiana is our only territory. So we are going to stay and try to make this work if there's a way to do it.
And what about where you go from here? With the field of play moving constantly, how do you adjust?
I tell people, it's like if you've got insurance now and you're happy with your coverage, just rock on and do what you're doing. We're going to worry about it at the top level. We're going to administer. I have in front of me a 40-page amicus brief and a giant study from Oliver Wyman, their actuaries, which was sent to the courts, to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeal for the Texas U.S. case, to explain the pain and suffering and problems there would be if the ACA were just thrown out in toto. And it's pretty stark stuff, and I know they'll take it seriously because 104 million humans in the U.S. are on a Blue Cross plan. So when
104 million.
Right, on some Blue Cross plan.
Almost a
third of the population. So hopefully we can be a force for good in this and make sure people understand how the decision would change things.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike Berto. StraightTalkLA.com is where you can find out much more about Mike and what he does. And we'll be calling on him again soon. We're going to a break for the news, but please give us a call and show your support for WRKF 855-893-9753.